Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, bow, bow. Bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump. What? Ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Happy Friday, my friends. Let's talk about balls. That's what I want to talk about. Not sports balls, either.
Oh.
All right? Sports.
Sports.
I listen to Taz and the Moose every morning now, just so I can hear Taz say sports. Sports.
What's,
New York.
What's that Italian dish, cheese on some crust?
Pizza.
Pizza?
Pizza. P-I-Z-Z-A-R. Pizza. It's Ben and Woods show. It is a Friday. Everyone is feeling real good. Already passed around some smelling salts.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not hyperbole either. We have some. We passed them around. Everyone is hyped, except for Ben, who's here early. Good morning, Ben.
I wasn't sure that I was going to be brought into the conversation. I haven't had any coffee yet.
That's fine. You can sit. You can weigh in and out. We'll pretend that this is our podcast.
Fair enough. That's Woods and Ben.
And I'll lead. Right. I'll lead us in this first break, as I usually do, as we
That's
wait.
That's okay. I got
for
here
ben
early
here.
Because yeah. I went to an event last night, and I actually did get an extra hour or two of sleep. It doesn't seem to help.
No, it doesn't. It's actually kind of worse sometimes.
It is. Well, when you go from like 3.5 to 5.5, it's not as delightful as you might imagine.
It really is. Once you get in a routine, no matter how crappy that routine is, once you break it, things can go wrong. But welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Let me introduce the show. To my right, our assistant producer, The Hammer. Good morning.
Great morning, man.
Everybody, you feeling good?
I'm feeling
the
great.
Smelling salts. I'm telling you, like, woo, let's go.
Yeah, and Olive Garden. So I got a couple of things going good right now.
Okay, we're going to get into that. Okay.
Whoa.
We've got our executive producer, Paul Reindl. And Paul, that's where I want to start today because something happened last night on Twitter. And I wanted to make sure Paulie knew that I had his back. And I even got roasted in this somehow, some way. Which it always happens. It's ridiculous. But I found out.
Somebody call you fat?
No, I didn't get fat. I'll get into it, but I tweeted this morning. I was today years old when I found out that not wearing a cup makes you manly and that wearing a cup makes you a kind of a P word, right? So Paul last night, I'm just perusing Twitter and I see his girlfriend Megan tweet. I just found out Paul Reindl wears a cup to his co-ed beer league softball games. I'm so embarrassed. And I wrote, he plays infield. You wear a cup in the infield. I don't care. Like, that's 101. I don't care if it's softball. I don't care if it's OTL. I'm wearing a cup. And then, of course, you get, I play infield and softball. I don't wear a cup. And then I got, what was the other one I got? Seriously, Paul Reindl, a cup? It's freaking softball, co-ed softball. I play third and don't wear a cup. But if you field like Stephen Woods does in that leaked footage, I suggest you keep wearing it. Maybe you guys aren't packing as much as Paul and I.
Oh,
maybe you don't have as much to protect. I'm throwing out theories, Hammer.
I don't really think that's the part that you're trying to protect as much. But
what the sh?
I think
the boys.
Yeah.
The Franks and beans. The beans are what you need to protect.
Yes.
Yeah, the Frank is fine. The Frank can take a licking and keep on ticking, but the beans are where that's what you need to protect.
Right.
There's not a lot of things in this world that you have to protect with your life.
That's it.
That's it, though.
Here's the other thing. My wife, by the way, her new bit is slapping me in the beans.
That's funny.
It's not funny.
No, that's pretty funny. When you get a nice hit in,
but
she's hilarious.
I'll make some crass comment.
She's not like a high school gym teacher.
No. Okay. I'll make some crass comment about some girl on television, be like, oh, who's that? And then whack! And I'm like,
that's funny.
And she has a remarkable ability to get the right one and the right one only every time, no matter how she does it. So I got her back the other day. hit her in the boob. I did. I fully hit her in the boob. I'm like, it was a reactionary thing to her, unsolicited, slapping me in the boys. And I'm like, hey, you want another kid? This is not cool. Paul.
And now you're never going to work in any field ever again.
Why?
You know? Well, wife beater. There
I'm
you
not
go.
A wife beater. God. But it's just, you can't, ladies, number one, you can't do that. Guys out there, it doesn't make you a Sally if you wear a cup when you play softball or baseball or any other ball. You have to wear a cup. You got to protect your junk. Right?
We play on 60-foot bases
yep.
on a
tiny little field.
Pretty crappy field. And yes, it is co-ed beer league softball, so every other batter, the ball isn't coming in as fast. But every other batter, I'm playing third or short.
Yeah, you're getting...
They turn on that ball, and if they get a hold of it, it's coming in hot.
Absolutely, it's coming in hot.
Do you think Manny Machado wears a cup?
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, listen, I've played
guy
with...
Does not, I mean, the guy does not make a false move. He can protect anything he wants with the glove and the glove alone.
I've played with plenty of guys that don't playing infield that I...
The guy is supremely confident.
Most of them are really slick fielders. Manny's a pretty slick fielder.
Yeah,
I can't imagine. Well, I mean, but that he's a professional. Like, if unless you're a professional, and Paul is not a professional, I am not a professional.
Right.
Like, unless you're a professional, you should be wearing a cup. Cody Bellinger last night, sliding into second, got hit right in the junk. And he had a cup on.
For, like, Machado, at some point, he did.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. Do you just reach a point where, like, I'm too good, I don't need this cup? Or, like, as long as I, from now on, once I step on a baseball field, I will be wearing a cup.
Always.
I can because
see,
that's how I grew
I can
up.
See Manny Machado, after years and years and years of going, nothing's going to happen. I'm there. My reaction times are fine. I always get the ball. It's uncomfortable. I think I'd just be more... freewheeling out there if I wasn't wearing a cup.
You got to remember, too, the fields that they play on are spectacularly manicured.
Christine.
The fields that I play on,
no
the
rocks.
Fields that Paul plays on, a lot different story. I mean,
here's
a
the problem.
Lot
I'm not going to ask him, so I don't know. Like, you might think about asking him at some point.
Yeah, if we ever get the chance to talk to him, that'd be great, number one.
I mean,
Gwen
and Chris interviewed him, what, last month?
Yeah.
And I don't remember that question coming up.
But I did find it funny.
Because they don't ask the hard questions.
They don't ask the tough questions like that. You know, we do.
They
and that's something I will... That's something
it's not
I will,
the feet that we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Franks and the beans. But anyway, so Paul, I got your back. It's ridiculous. I had, you know, Twitter tough guys are just...
The
I mean,
worst.
The, just the... You can see them going...
Yeah.
I would never wear a cup.
And I get it. She was just trying to...
No, I'm not even mad
break
at
some
her.
Balls.
I'm not. Yeah, break some balls.
Nice.
I'm not even mad at her.
No,
per se.
We were laughing about it last night. I just texted her. I said, "Swing and a miss, babe. Love you, but swing
yeah,
and a miss.
Yeah, swing and a miss. 100%. You missed. It's you know." And then she said, "My God, it was just a joke. The Wiener police came out tonight." Yeah, men are very. We are like you don't get it. You get hit there. I'm sure it's uncomfortable, ladies. But when we get hit there, it's a. It could be a life change. There was a kid I went to high school with, got hit, didn't wear a cup, had to get one of the beans removed when he was a kid. Like it swelled up so badly that he had to get one of his beans removed as a 12-year-old.
Do you think those guys from Jackass had to get all of theirs removed after everything they had went through?
100%.
God, that was insane watching that.
All those stunt guys, I mean, they're just no regard for their... They're wieners whatsoever.
I don't understand that.
I don't. I really don't either. It's like It's like the thing that I protect the most.
I mean, dude, like my dog will jump up on my lap,
yep.
or whatever, or jump off of my lap, and every once in a while,
just
gets you right there, and it's like you get that pit in your stomach. You're about to throw,
you're about to
up.
Throw up.
Now imagine a baseball or a softball coming off a bat,
hitting you flush.
Oh.
My son is 18 months, and he is in perfect height for boom. And when he jumps on me, the knees. The whole thing, I'm just like, oh, my God. I'm going to get a text from my wife. It's height, not height. And I always say height. He's the perfect height to hit me right in the boys. And he does it a couple of times a day. I should start wearing a cup in my home. Before we go to our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight, get Ben some coffee, get rolling today. Hammer, did you get the Olive Garden card?
Yes.
Shut up!
Yeah.
Wow!
Yes. Yeah.
The $100 one or the lifetime one?
The $100. You got to start with the $100.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to.
So the lifetime one, so since I got the $100 one,
you're qualified.
So how it goes is they only gave out 25,000 of the $100 ones. So I had it planned out perfectly. I was in the waiting room 5 minutes before. As soon as 11 o'clock hit, I purchased it. You had 8 minutes. I did it in like 2.5 minutes. It was great. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's awesome. So today they're going to send me an email whether I can qualify for the lifetime one, which I've already set up the money. So if I get that email, like,
oh my, he's gonna do
I'm
going
to get the lifetime pot. Yes.
Right, hang on.
So for the next.
I almost feel like I want to go to Olive Garden with Hammer.
I do too. We should. A show outing.
When do you get your card?
I get it. They said I can use it, I think, beginning of next week or something.
All right, we're going to
Olive Garden. Incredible. So
you guys up for pasta at 9:30 in the morning?
I guess.
Tour of Italy, baby. Tour of Italy.
We're going to have to. So, Hammer, you are one of 25,000 this morning that can now, for the next 9 weeks, eat as much pasta as you want, eat as many breadsticks and salad, as much salad as you want at Olive Garden.
And toppings. Don't forget the
toppings. Shrimp, chicken. Oh.
Shrimp Alfredo. Literally too much.
Meatballs.
Oh, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, 9 weeks of unending pasta for the Hammer. Hammer's going to look like Chris Farley in 9 weeks. He's
no
going to be eating
with that.
He's going to be the mallet.
I can't wait.
This is going to be awesome. The Hammer.
The mallet.
That reminds me of Ryan Mallet, and I absolutely hate
it. I hated that guy, too. Oh, I hated that guy. Oh, my God.
Isn't that what a mallet is? Like a fat hammer?
He's like a fat hammer.
The mallet.
The fat mallet. I like the fammer. The fat hammer.
The fat hammer.
Yeah, fammer. Congratulations. That's a big deal,
man.
Big deal in a young man's life. So congratulations to you. Coming up next, Joe Girardi. We spent a lot of time.
I'm looking forward to listening. I missed this one yesterday.
I did, too. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about catching. And, you know, what it entails. And Coach had Joe Girardi on. I think that's a pretty good guy to ask. Joe was a really good defensive catcher, kind of light hitting. But
I bet Austin Hedges wears a cup.
I bet he does. And we will play that for you next. Joe Girardi with the coach on our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. Coming up next on Ben and Woods. Mm. 97.3 The Fan. Happy Friday. It's Ben and Woods. Well, it's actually Ben and Woods
now. I'm just kind of kicking it here.
That's fine. You can kick it all day if you like. I'm feeling pretty good today
I like this energetic early morning energy.
Yeah. I got it today. Some days you have it, some days you don't. Today I feel like I have it. I haven't felt like I've had it for like 2 weeks, but I feel good today.
Right.
So let's have some fun, and we'll start where we usually do at this time with our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. Joe Girardi, former Yankees manager, former Cubs catcher, former Yankees catcher.
What's your lasting, like, takeaway from Joe Girardi?
Oh, when he blew the ALDS game against the Indians.
All right, that's what I figured.
Yeah, I've never gotten over that. It was Gary Sanchez wanted him to challenge a play, and his ego got in the way, and he didn't challenge the play, and basically gave away. And ALD, he cried after the game. He admitted he was wrong. Doesn't help at all. Like, it didn't. That, for me, was just such an egregious. Well, it cost him his job. Even though they came, one game from going to the World Series that year?
No.
Still lost his job.
I mean, he
didn't
win a World Series.
He did, 2009, yeah.
That's not what you are left with, though. It's the more recent memory of failure.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, it's what have you done for me lately, and what you did for me lately was blew a game in the ALDS. I mean, literally, all you had to do was just challenge that play.
I know a lot of people, and we'll get to the interview here, a lot of people said if Andy Green was ever let go, that Joe Girardi is a name they'd want to consider. He was National League Manager of the Year in his one season with the Marlins.
Yep. Lost his job.
Then lost his job.
What does that tell you?
Got hired by the Yankees and won the World Series, I believe, in his second season as manager of the Yankees. But then after that, he spent another 7 or 8 years with the Yankees and never got him back.
Yeah. I mean, and Joe's a fine guy. We've interviewed him. He seems to be a really nice guy for this team. He wasn't great, Benny, with the young guys, and that is really what this organization is all about, and it's going to be all about that for a long time here. I mean, those guys are the most important parts of this franchise going forward. And Joe Girardi, for me, he's just not the guy. I toiled under him. I talk about no feel for the game or his team, Binder Joe. I mean, if you love analytics, he may be the right guy for you, but I don't know, man. There was something about him and guys like Gary Sanchez. They all performed better without him, and it's been interesting to see. So Joe Girardi, though, nothing personal against him. Great guy. Was a great player. And Coach had him on yesterday on the SDCCU fan hotline for a 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. Here he is. It's Coach and Joe Girardi.
Right now we're going to head out to our SDCCU fan hotline. And, of course, all of our radio.com sports MLB insiders come across and love having them on each and every day. Our insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Joe, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really well. First of all, congratulations on being named manager of Team USA. What a great honor.
Yeah, it really is. I'm so excited. I've had a chance to be on a USA team in 1985, a chance to be on a National Sports Festival team out of high school, which we actually played against. The Southern team had Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro. So that was pretty cool to play against those two when they were in high school and to see the careers that they would have. But the other thing I wanted to say was you should have let the song play a little bit longer. To me, the greatest rock and roll band of all time.
I won't disagree with you on that. Hey, I got to ask you this because somebody asked me yesterday. We'd had the promo running that you were coming on, and I was out and about yesterday. And somebody goes, "Hey, Coach, we're having Joe Girardi on tomorrow. Ask him where are the players going to come from? Team USA? Are they going to be amateur players this time, or are you going to go down to the minor leagues?"
No, we are allowed to take non-40-man roster players. So anyone who is on the non-40-man roster, you know, for an example, it could be a player that got released in the month of August and, you know, has had a really good career and has played really well. So we are starting to put the team together. I am excited about it. I'm excited about some of the players that I think we're going to have an opportunity to use. And I can't wait for this to start.
Joe Girardi, Radio.com, Sports MLB Insider. Joe, I got to ask you a little bit about the Padres. I know you're also there with the MLB Network, and you're watching baseball and staying in touch with it on a daily basis. Fernando Tatis Jr., your thoughts on him?
Just amazed at how good of a player he is at such a young age, and it's just not on one side of the baseball. I think the sky is the limit for this kid. If this kid stays healthy, and I know this is a really big prediction, but would any of us be surprised if he's a perennial all-star and possibly a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done? I mean, at 20 years old, what he can do, and I think if he could stay on the field, he would have a really good chance at winning Rookie of the Year because he is that good, you know, the 22 home runs and, you know, he's got 16 stolen bases. He's got an unbelievable arm at shortstop. And I know I tune in just to watch him, to watch him hit, to watch him play defense. And I'm on the other side of the country, and I want to see what he's going to do.
Joe, we got a catching controversy right now. We got one of the best catchers in baseball in Austin Hedges. He's hitting 183 right now. He's been supplanted by the young switch-hitting catcher, Francisco Mejia, who's really gotten hot, hitting 279. You've seen both of these guys. Hedges thinks he ought to be playing more. He commented in the local paper today. I know when you look at the defensive metrics, he's leading all of baseball. Your thoughts on the catching situation here in San Diego? Because that's going to be something we talk about, I think, all winter.
Yeah, and I think what you have to pay attention is the pitcher's ERA with each catcher, because that's a big deal. You know, if it's substantial, if it's a half a run less with one catcher than the other, I mean, think about that. That's basically 80 RBIs during the course of the season. You know, they don't play 160 games. They play 120. So that's 60 RBIs that you can put on top of what he drives in for your club. So it is always difficult. He is wonderful defensively. He does some things that are interesting, but he's very good at how he goes about his craft. He does have some power, but he has not hit as well offensively. And remember, you know, Mejia was the centerpiece of that deal that said Brad Hand over to Cleveland. And I'm sure they want to see how this kid develops. It's not the worst thing to have two really good catchers.
Can
it's
you have
because it's some At some point, somebody's going to go down, and it's and you keep them both fresh, and hopefully it helps their at-bats.
Joe, is it okay to have two young catchers that are both really trying to solidify their careers?
Well, I think it makes it probably more competitive, and if it's not, and if each guy can focus on the team more than their at-bats, I think that competitiveness will make each player better. I don't think that that's a problem. I really don't. And eventually, over time here, one is going to really emerge as the number one guy. And it's not a slap in the face if you lose this battle, because I think both kids are really pretty talented. But, you know, eventually it's gonna work its way out, and you just keep playing them both.
We're visiting with Joe Girardi, Radio.com Sports MLB Insider. Of course, longtime Major League player, all-star with the Cubbies once upon a time, and four-time Major League World Series champion, three as a player and one as a manager with the New York Yankees. How about your old ball club? Boy, what a year they've had considering all the injuries.
Yeah, they have. They're just so deep, and players have had career years. You know, it's just amazing what they've been able to do with that club and how guys have really stepped up. And you think about their third baseman has just had no one saw that coming. I mean, no one saw the year that he was going to put up. And he's done it. You know, Andujar went down. He took advantage of a situation. And Gio Urshela is, been incredible. You know, Ottavino was brought over. He's had a tremendous year. The Colorado connection has been very, very good. DJ LeMahieu, you know, I know that some of the other guys have had off the chart years. But, you know, without Mike Trout, you could argue that maybe he should be the MVP of the American League. So they have gotten contributions maybe from guys they didn't expect such huge contributions. But they can really hit, and they score runs, and they've done a number on Baltimore, which has really helped them too.
Hey, Joe, this is the second year you're out as a manager, and you know you're in it as a player. You jump in it, you're managing, and you're almost like in a hallway where you're seeing straight ahead, and you don't see things on the right and left of you sometimes. Being out of the game right now, not in uniform. How do you look at the game right now? You're seeing some things now that maybe you didn't see as much when you were in uniform?
Oh, I think so. I think the game is always changing. How players are changing, the importance of getting through to players to make adjustments to the change and understanding that you can continue to get better. I mean, that's something I always did. But, I look at a guy like Cody Bellinger. You know, I think Cody Bellinger witnessed – in two World Series, the way that Houston hit and the way that Boston hit. And all that power is great, but if you're striking out all the time, when you start getting in those final series, you're seeing good pitching every night, you're not going to be productive. And he made the adjustment. So it's those type of things getting through to players that have the ability to do that, I think is really important. I also think the importance of, you know, continuing to see how the amount of bullpen usage affects it in the long run, just not in the short term. It seems like with the increased amount of bullpen usage, we've actually seen a drop-off in bullpens. And I think the drop-off is because they are used so much, it's a much bigger pool that they draw from. It's not, you know, maybe 8 or 9 guys over the course of a year. It's 15 to 20, and when you start getting in some of those lower numbers, the 13 to 20, it's not the same as the first 10 guys. So you have to be careful how you use guys and make sure guys are getting their proper rest so they do stay off the DL.
We're visiting with Joe Girardi, Radio.com, a Sports MLB Insider. I want to go back to catcher just for a minute. How much time did Joe Girardi spend as a young guy coming up in the minor leagues, and then once you establish yourself at the big league level, working on framing?
We did it a lot, actually. And the reason this wasn't talked about so much when we were coming up and doing, it's because it wasn't able to be measured. And you weren't able to put a number to it and say, this guy is the best. I mean, I don't know how many people remember the guy Charlie O'Brien. Charlie O'Brien was the best framer in my day. He also had a great staff to work with. You know, he had Maddux and Glavine and Smoltz and all those guys. But he used to steal pitches all the time, but it wasn't quantifying. So these aren't really new things. They're not new concepts. But the idea of measuring them and putting a number to and a value to is new. We knew it was valuable, but we couldn't really put, well, it saves, it's worth this much on defensive war. They didn't do that, so you weren't paid for that.
Hey, Joe, I wanted to ask you about ball players being at the ballpark maybe too many hours a day. You know, I remember talking with Buddy Black a few years ago when he was managing. We were sitting in the dugout, I don't know, a half hour before the game. I said to Buddy, hey, you know, Buddy, your guys hit too much. And he looked at me and goes, you know, I agree with you. How about the number of hours these guys come to the ballpark and they're there, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The game doesn't get over to, you know, 10, 10:15 at night. And you're doing that day after day. And then you throw in the travel. Ball players, ball clubs expect too much out of these players, you think? Are they there too much?
I don't necessarily see it that way. I think they come because the facilities are so good and they can do so much work. There's an opposite. When I came up, we didn't get there so early, but we stayed a lot later.
Right.
So you still put in a lot of hours. You just would stay an hour to an hour and a half after the game where guys are gone in 20 minutes now. I mean, that's the bottom line. They're out of the ballpark in 20 minutes. So I think it's more on the front end than it is on the back end. I think it was important on the back end because I think players used to talk about the game a lot more and what they saw and why I saw this guy and you didn't. And I think we missed some of that. But they still spent a lot of hours at the ballpark.
Hey, last thing, I got to bring this up because you got me in trouble, and you got one of your former teammates in trouble, Bob Scanlon, back in 2006. You came in here with the floor.
The Tin Man.
Yeah, the Tin Man. We're and Dave Garcia was involved in this as well. Dave's no longer with us, but it was a great friend of mine, taught me a lot about baseball. We had his grandson on a couple of days ago, Greg. But you brought the Marlins in here, and on a Sunday afternoon, I don't know why you did it, but you had everybody out there taking infield, outfield. You had your two catchers suited up. They had their full gear on, and you guys came out, and you were hustling all over the ballpark. That afternoon, you guys smoked the Padres, and Bob and I were doing the postgame show, and we brought it up because the Padre guys, they didn't take batting practice that day. They came out, you know, about 20 minutes before stretch, ran some sprints. You guys just ran them off the field that day, and Bob and I were talking about it on the postgame show, and, you know, Boach talked to us the next day. He goes, what do you mean we weren't prepared? I go, well, Joe Girardi's got his team out. They're taking infield, outfield, and they're running around. They got their catchers looking like it's spring training. And Boach just kind of grumbled. You know, he can grumble a little bit, but I always remember that because it was kind of funny.
Yeah, well, I think, it's easier to do it with a younger club than it is an older club. And Boach had a bunch of veterans. But I always believed with my young team, on days that we didn't hit, it was good to get their bodies going, and that's why I took infield, because I wanted them to have that adrenaline before the third inning. Because some days when you don't hit, you don't feel like you really get it going until maybe the second or third inning. So I would have them come out and take infield. It would be quick. It would get their bodies going, and then they knew. And we didn't do it a ton, but on those day games where we didn't hit, we would do it, and I thought it was successful for us.
That was Radio.com Sports MLB Insider Joe Girardi. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Hey, Joe, thanks so much. I look forward to doing this again. Have a great day.
Yes, you too. Thanks.
Good stuff right there from Joe Girardi. Again, a part of Radio.com Sports MLB Insider.
And all guests appear on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply today at SDCCU.com. Still not sure whether the guys are out on the field too much or not enough. But that's always the dilemma. Sometimes you need to give guys a rest, and sometimes you need to work them a little harder.
Yeah.
And the good managers seem to know when's the right time for both.
Well, you know, we had the old incident last year of taking relay drills in September, dude. You know, I mean, it's some guys like it, some guys don't.
Right, and I think Andy Green got some praise for that from some people. Like, yeah, I like to see our manager still working on fundamentals in September in a season that's lost. And others are like, hey, you're never going to succeed. If your players aren't on board with you, you know, you're never going to succeed as manager. So yeah, there's always two sides to that coin, I think. Good stuff, though, from Joe Girardi. He's a good talker.
Yeah, yes.
I will say that. He is a good talker. Good interview with Coach John Quintero. All right, it is a Friday on Ben and Woods, which means we've got a great show planned for you. It's a Friar Friday. So that means we'll have a special Padres guest coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. Ben reads raps. We've got Real or Fake. We're going to give away some more Padres Dodgers tickets that we've been doing all week. So stay tuned for your chance to do that. And in just a couple of minutes, we'll get inside the mind of the Hammer, the new possessor of an all-you-can-eat, never-ending pasta pass.
He did it.
From Olive Garden.
He really did it.
He did it.
He did it.
We will get to that and more coming up on 97.3 The Fan.
Grab your favorite Padres cap, sit back, relax. It's Friar Friday, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista on 97.3 The Fan.
Ben and Woods, it is Friday morning here on 97.3 The Fan. It is early. If you are with us now, you are a tier one, or maybe an acolyte. As it were.
I saw Barry Bloom yesterday has now called our listeners.
Really kind of public enemy number one among Padres Twitter this year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he really dug in on Fernando Tatis, which is, he made a wrong prediction about Fernando Tatis early in his career. And he's going to, instead of, which we've all done 1,000 times, I've walked in here and said, hey, I got to admit, I was wrong about blank. I was 100% wrong. I didn't think blank was going to be able to get the job done. He is. I was wrong. I'm an idiot.
You know, the thing is, he wasn't even, it's not like he was overly wrong. He was cautionary.
No.
About Fernando Tatis's minor league numbers and said, hey, I don't know if this guy's going to be a super duper star like A-Rod.
Benny.
Is basically what he said.
He said he had a weak arm. But, he said his arm, like that to me says you've never seen him play. Did his arm get 50,000 times better?
Where he got in trouble, though, is he just kept digging in.
That's the thing.
Yeah, he just kept digging in. And I've known Barry for a long time. I'm not sure exactly. I think he kind of revels in it a little bit.
Oh, I think so, too. You know, being the villain. Yeah.
But,
which is fine. Hey, man, if that's the role that you're going to take, I'm going to play the other. I'm going to play the foil then.
But I do think a lot of the people that go toe-to-toe with him on Twitter happen to, you know, I think, overlap with some of our audience. I'm Ben and Woods.
Absolutely.
Padres Twitter people, for sure. And we know and we appreciate that you're listening out there. So he tweeted yesterday as he was commenting on the discussion of Fernando Tatis Jr. He dug in again. Hey, this guy's got to stay healthy if he's going to have this amazing career y'all are predicting
for him. If he's going to be an impact player. He's already been an impact player.
I mean, Barry's not wrong. I mean, you do have to, if you want to be a superstar, you have to stay healthy.
Yeah, you do.
And it's much too early to determine whether Fernando Tatis is going to be injury prone. But he has the talent, of course, to be beyond an impact player.
Well,
he has the talent to be a legendary player, a superstar player, and then he made an offhand reference to all of our acolytes.
Our acolytes.
And then suggested perhaps that I didn't know what that word meant, which didn't get under my skin at all. I'll just say that.
You're lying about that. I can tell right now because, yeah, we both are pretty proud of our vocab. I was an English major. You've been doing this a long time. You're very well-versed as well.
I've been criticized for sometimes sounding too erudite on sports
radio.
Look
at that. You would be punctilious in assuming that, Ben. No, I like to have fun with Barry. I think he's the guy that likes to dig in. Now, what caught more ire yesterday of Padres Twitter or San Diego Twitter was Adrian Gonzalez. Did you see this?
No, I did not see this.
You didn't see him out at Chargers practice yesterday.
Yeah, and it's on brand.
You got the, who's the guy? AC Slater? What's his name? Numbnuts from the show.
Mario Lopez. Another like San Diego Chula Vista guy. Who has embraced the LA lifestyle. Like Adrian when he went to the Dodgers. It wasn't his fault necessarily that he went to the Dodgers. The Padres traded him to the Red Sox, who then traded him to the Dodgers.
Correct.
What is he supposed to do? Of course, you know, play as hard as he can.
Sure.
Embrace as much as he can out of it. There is a possibility, if you want, after your career, though, to re-embrace San Diego. And I feel like it's something that Adrian never really did. He just said he ended up in L.A. and, like, that was it for him.
But he lives here still.
He does.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Chargers moving doesn't bother him at all because I'm kind of, hey, that's me. I'm San Diego who kind of transitioned to L.A.
Yeah.
I am the Chargers, basically.
Yeah, the Mario Lopez thing. I mean, that guy's persona non grata in San Diego. If I were him, I would never come south of Oceanside. I mean, seriously, people were so mad at him when he was at that Dodger game a couple of weeks ago. He made all the post-game thread GIFs have been made of him. Memes have been made. It was priceless. So he caught a lot of flack yesterday from San Diego Twitter.
Just for being at the Chargers practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not expecting Adrian Gonzalez to be the guy who's waving the San Diego banner anymore. That's just not him. And Adrian's not a bad guy at all, but he's not Mr. San Diego.
No.
He never really was.
Even when
he played for the Padres, I never got the sense that he was Mr. San Diego. And we kind of made him out to be, hey, local kid makes good. But that just wasn't him. That wasn't his personality as a player. Great player. I mean, I really enjoyed watching Adrian Gonzalez play. That play that Eric Hosmer made in that game they ended up losing, but the nailing the runner at third base in the ninth inning. That,
so clutch.
That was so Adrian Gonzalez, the way he did that. Just flipped it over him. And Adrian's such an aggressively defensive first baseman.
Very smooth. Very smooth.
And that was one of my favorite things to watch about him when he was with the Padres.
We want to do Herb Talk or no?
Herb Talk.
I tweeted it. I said we're in here discussing
our favorite herbs
and spices. So clearly, we need a football, basketball, or hockey team to move to San Diego ASAFP.
I am a big fan of rosemary. I know that's a polarizing.
Is it polarizing?
Polarizing herb because like my mother hates rosemary, and we never had it growing up, and then I found it later in life. I'm like, wow,
what a badass!
This stuff's pretty good.
You live on the edge, Ben.
You do.
Just eating rosemary without your mother's approval at 44 years old? Jeez. Yeah, very rebellious. I'm meh on rosemary. I like parsley.
Parsley?
Yeah, I like parsley.
Or curly?
What is curly?
Oh, so you don't even know the difference.
No, I just
curly
like parsley.
Curly parsley is...
I like basil.
Is like when you go to a steakhouse, like a Sizzler in 1987, and they put the little piece of parsley on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's curly parsley.
I like that.
Generally, the one that you like chefs will cook with is Italian parsley or flat leaf parsley.
I like the curly then.
All right.
I like thyme.
Thyme is good.
Thyme. And I like to say thyme.
We can agree on the thyme.
I'm looking up.
You like dill, you said.
I do like dill. I like dill.
See, now I don't mind a dill pickle, but if you're just going to like shave like dill all over something, it's nah.
Well, roasted potatoes with dill.
A potato salad is something you'll see dill in.
Dill
a lot.
Is delicious.
I don't want something overly dilled.
I don't really like sage. I don't like those little seeds. What are they called? The
anise seeds.
Those are
that's basil flavor, but you like basil.
Why do you say basil?
Basil? What do you want to say?
Basil.
Basil.
It's not basil.
Basil.
We have absolutely derailed. We are
oregano.
Yeah, oregano's good. Oregano's fine. Garlic, like garlic when they make it, shave it down, and it's in a...
Garlic powder.
Yeah, onion garlic powder. Garlic flavored.
Fresh garlic's better. Why are we discussing this?
I don't know. We talked about it off the air.
Where did we...
You guys can weigh in on Twitter. Maybe we'll do a Twitter poll.
On your favorite herbs.
Yeah. What's your favorite herbs? Yeah, we're lost. We are absolutely lost.
Just get Hammer's here to keep us not on sports.
Let's just jump in. Maybe this is usually the part of the show that derails us is going to Hammer Time. We're hoping that maybe it saves us this morning. It is time to get inside the mind.
I liked Herb Talk.
Of the Hammer, soon to be the Mallet. Let's go.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Now.
Stop.
Hammer time.
I love this.
It
so
works
good.
Now.
It does. It does.
Finally
it's
works.
Starting to work. Good morning, my man. How you doing?
Good. And on the herb talk, my favorite herb green crack.
We know what your favorite herb is, Hammer.
Just one of the ways.
It's marijuana, Ben. That's his favorite herb.
Well, I guess
it's
a
type of strain.
Yeah, strain.
It's
green,
fantastic.
Green crack.
Wake you up in the morning.
In the morning, okay.
Yeah, smelling salts and herb?
No, but I like those. Big fan. Go ahead, what you got?
All right, so I've always kind of wondered this. I've never really had to deal with traffic. You know, obviously doing morning radio, and then I got the second job, and they started, like, letting me go at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So obviously that's the heart of traffic.
Yeah.
What is the science behind how traffic starts? Because I understand that everyone gets off at the same time, and that's the clear answer. But how does it get to the point where people are literally going 5 miles an hour?
It's a good question.
I've wondered the same thing. I mean, if everybody just goes 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, like, everybody...
Well, there's a lot. Moves. So the thing I've learned about Southern California is at about, especially on Friday here in San Diego... When would you say traffic gets it starts for me to get really bad around 3. I've noticed right around 3,
yeah,
you're dead.
If you're heading southbound from North County, even after 2:30 now, I start to run into a little bit of difficulty because that's my normal time when I go back down to Channel 10.
What's that drive run you when you leave North County, Encinitas? Every day, you got to be back down to Channel 10. What's that drive get you every day?
If I leave early enough and there's no traffic, I can get there in about 34 minutes.
That is with no traffic.
I have with traffic on a really bad day, like I get stuck on a Friday and I don't leave until like 3 o'clock. It's taken over 2 hours before.
It's the thing in my life that I hate more than anything.
Dude,
is traffic.
It sucks because you always have to pay attention.
Yep.
You can't ever, like, you know, just casually cruise.
Listen
to
the radio.
Sitting on your brakes the whole time, and it sucks.
Hammer, ask my wife, man. It is the thing that infuriates me more than anything in the universe is traffic. When I do SEALs games, I love when they're on Saturday.
They play on Fridays a lot.
Play on Fridays, so I got to be, so let's say the game starts at 7. I like to get there, because I'm an early bird, I like to get there between 5 and 5:30, which means I'm leaving my house for a 7 o'clock game, sometimes at 3 o'clock, 3:30. And some days I can get there no problem. Some days it takes me, like Ben said, about an hour and a half. And by the time you get there, you just want to die. I mean, it ruins your day. The way that it starts, though, if there's one little accident, one little fender bender, everybody stops, people got to pull over, and it just slows everything down. Plus, just the sheer volume of cars on the road at a certain time, it just kills you.
And then there's that confusion where you are standstill for like basically 10 miles.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're driving 70 miles per hour.
It's wide open.
It's like, what happened?
It makes me insane.
Stop and go is maybe even worse than just full on traffic.
Yeah. Stop and go is
stop
terrible.
And go and stop and go.
I'm the guy that will exit and go 100 miles out of the way just to keep moving. I will not. If I have to get off the freeway, I'll figure it out.
I feel like there's like a specific 10 bad drivers every single day at like 2 o'clock that decides, like, yo, we're going to ruin it for the entire
city. Yeah, ruin it for everybody.
Because this is unbelievable. Every single day, it's just awful.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, most of the time, though, I think it's just the sheer volume.
Yeah.
Right, a lot of people getting on the freeway at that time, merging, slows things down.
One person gets in an accident or gets
pulled
over.
Then those are the really bad days.
The looky lose.
It sucks. It's just hammer. It's a great hammer time. It makes me insane. Fully insane.
I wonder.
I hate it. And that's
who's doing it.
The beauty of what we do in the morning. It sucks getting up at 3 a.m. But that drive into work is pretty awesome.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's super easy.
I hate traffic.
I do too.
Stop. Hammer time.
Don't forget, you can experience an afternoon of barbecue, bourbon, and blues coming up on Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. Just head to the center, home of Lexus Escondido, award-winning Abby's Texas Barbecue, and Steinmetz Sipping Bourbon on hand. Just go to our events page at 973thefansd.com for early bird discount tickets, probably your last day to grab those early bird tickets while they last, because we are coming up this weekend. Again, that is at the center, home of Lexus Escondido, for bourbon, barbecue, and blues.
I really liked Herb Talk on Ben and Woods. I'm a fan of it. No? You don't like it?
I just don't know where we go from here.
Herb Talk?
I think there's a reason that we do sports talk and not Herb Talk.
Bluntly Padres tweeted, favorite herb was the segment implemented for us. Hashtag stay blunt. Those guys are the best. They're like, Hammer, you would love their podcast.
Wait, what is this?
It's called, they're called Bluntly Padres. They like to smoke weed and do a podcast about Padres.
What?
They should actually have the Hammer on.
No way.
That's a good guest. Yeah, they're really good.
What a great idea for a show.
Follow them at Bluntly Padres.
Oh, my goodness.
Big shout-out day. Big shout-out day today on Ben and Woods.
All right, got a big show again. It is a Friday, a Friar Friday. We will let you know everything we've got coming up on the show today. Coming up, when we come back, Woodsy,
yeah,
the Padres are back in action today in Philadelphia.
Oh, boy.
And they're not exactly running into an ice-cold team in the Phillies. They're coming off a pretty spectacular series against the Chicago Cubs, and I think there's going to be a lot of attention placed on this series, mostly for one reason. It is, once again, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. And everyone in the national media is going to use this as a measuring stick series. Like, how are they doing in their first season with their new teams? We talked earlier this week that piece that Tom Verducci did in Sports Illustrated, where he kind of compared both guys and the impact that they've had on their teams. We can look at that when we come back. Obviously, that debate with Austin Hedges that we got into yesterday is not going away either, Woods.
Isn't it?
I don't know that it is.
Can't it?
I mean, you heard Joe Girardi on with Coach, and he said the most important stat is catcher's ERA.
It's not. It's not. It's so dependent on who's pitching. Like, isn't that obvious? Isn't it obvious who catches who? It will take you a year to break it
all
down.
We'll talk about it coming up. It is Ben and Woods.
We have to.
Good morning, 97.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.